The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We're back. It's the final hour of the show, a 3.5 hour version, sort of. Had the great pleasure of getting in early so that George Brockler could get out and do, a final game of the season with one of his kids. And so we picked it up around 8:25 on the George Show. And you can get that podcast any old time at 710knus.com if you were with us. In the first hour today, you got to hear from Paris Denard, the national spokesman for the RNC. We talked about election integrity lawsuits the RNC is behind, the great editorial piece that he did about changes in the black community. The culture is changing, and it's none too soon. And, of course, it all really stems from the tremendous job that Donald Trump, he of the mean tweet, did in enlarging the Republican base and the Hispanic community, the black community, and a host of other voters who typically do not pay close attention to Republicans. And that was pretty terrific. In the 10 o'clock, we talked to my friend and client, Professor John Eastman, about a host of things, including the allegation that he's been unwilling to go on Peter Boyle's show. He made it clear. I've made it clear in writing, so I really don't know where that came from. But yeah, he hung up on Peter, and he's willing to go back and do it again. So I hope that message gets through, or at least the false narrative that John is unwilling to go on any show anytime. I just hope that that goes away. And in just a moment, we're going to be joined by House District 60 State Representative and now U.S. Senatorial candidate Ron Hanks, who will join us on Tuesday night, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Arapaho Tea Party. Tickets are still available. It's free, but you've got to get tickets since we're always standing room only at these things now. You can go to eventbrite.com, just put in Arapaho Tea Party. The time for talking is over. Any of those things ought to get you there. If you have trouble, just send me a text to studio. Reach out to me personally. We'll make sure that that gets done. Before we bring on Ron Hanks, I just want you to hear the power of a United States Senate seat when it's held in the right hands. This is Missouri's Josh Hawley. He's talking to an official from the Department of Justice about this new weaponization to try and intimidate parents who are showing up in mass at these school board meetings to say, hey, you fools, thanks to COVID, thanks to home schooling and all this Zoom schooling, we are on to you now, and we are done with your BS. Josh Hawley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Monaco, I want to come back to this extraordinary letter and memorandum that the Attorney General of the United States issued yesterday. Practically every day brings new reports about this administration weaponizing the federal bureaucracy to go after political opponents. Frankly, I don't think we've ever seen anything like it in American history. I mean, for those of us who missed the McCarthy era, I guess this president is intent on bringing it to us, but with new force and new power and new urgency, unlike anything we've ever seen. Are you aware of any time in American history when an attorney general has directed the FBI to begin to intervene in school board meetings, local school board meetings?
I'm not aware, and I'm not aware that is not going on. Let me be very, very
clear.
Really,
this isn't about local school board meetings? That's not the subject of the memorandum? I thought that was in the memorandum.
The memorandum is quite clear. It's one page, and it asks the U.S. attorney community and the FBI special agents in charge to convene state and local law enforcement partners to ensure that there's an open line of communication to address threats, to address violence, and that's the appropriate role of the Department of Justice to make sure that we are addressing criminal conduct and violence.
At local school board meetings, let me just ask you this. Is parents waiting sometimes for hours to speak at a local school board meeting to express concerns about critical race theory or the masking of their students, particularly young children? Is that in and of itself, is that harassment and intimidation? Is waiting to express one's view at a school board meeting harassment and intimidation?
Yeah, really good. And if you get a chance, go back and find that entire exchange. And now with six announced candidates in the U.S. Senate race here in Colorado, one wonders if this guy could be the next Josh Hawley.
I'm Ron Hanks. I'm here today to talk about two important issues, election integrity and the Second Amendment. I spent 32 years in uniform, including Desert Storm and the Global War on Terror. I served as an intelligence officer in Iraq, worked as a counter-drug officer in Kazakhstan, fighting the drug trade that funded the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. I've worked as a counterintelligence agent and as a linguist. I am a pro-Trump warrior and a conservative state legislator who's fought for election integrity, defended the unborn, protected our Second Amendment rights, and I've battled the liberals on taxes and mandates. Now I'm running for United States Senate because Michael Bennett and our government no longer serve the people. It is an entity built for control over the masses by the power elite. Joe Biden should be removed from office for his disgraceful surrender of Afghanistan. He left Americans, allies, and working dogs in country. His regime has disarmed Americans at home while simultaneously arming terrorists by leaving military-grade weapons and supplies in Afghanistan. Our border is a mess, Biden's edicts are unconstitutional, and the liberals in Congress want to raise our taxes and tell us how to live. As Americans come to realize Biden's incompetence, a growing majority believe he was not fairly elected. Evidence of fraud in multiple states support their conclusion. I know because I attended recounts and audits in multiple states. As our next senator, I will fight for our conservative values, and I'll start by targeting our broken election system. I'm Ron Hanks, and I'm running for the United States Senate.
I'm Ron Hanks, and I approve this message.
I just watched the video while that was playing, and there's a Xerox or something, copier out there that says Dominion Voting Machines, that Representative Hanks just blasts the heck out of. And the end of that has been played ad nauseum westward, talked about on TV, talked about behind this microphone. And I thought, what a better opportunity than to bring on the man himself, 32-year Air Force veteran, my friend Ron Hanks. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Randy. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. And I know you were on hold, so you got to hear sort of the lead up. I played that powerful conversation that Josh Hawley had with the DOJ worker and then played your ad in full, in context, since everybody's been focusing on the blow up of the fill-in Dominion machine at the end of your ad. But that whole ad from start to finish is incredibly powerful.
Well, I appreciate that. We worked pretty hard on it. We had some fun, too. And I should probably note that, you know, conservatives are environmentally conscientious, and we didn't actually leave any debris out on that gun range. So we had some fun shooting at some Tannerite.
You know, Ron, a million Tea Partiers went to the Washington Mall back at the height of the mobilization of the Tea Party movement and left that whole area cleaner than they found it. Every time you put lefties here in Civic Center Park, on the Washington Mall, anywhere, they trash everything. And that's just another minor point that shows the difference between one side and the other.
We're better people than the left-wing media, the yellow journalism would paint us to be. I have been fighting with them during the last legislative session, and it will continue through this Senate race. But it comes with the territory. But, I mean, really, they are their beliefs about who the people on the right are is just completely out of touch. And I think we will make that point, and people will get to know us better in the months ahead here and start to fully recognize the media, the mainstream media, is lying to them. I mean, their reputation's already pretty low, and lower than politicians, I think, by some polls. And by summertime, people are going to recognize it fully, especially with election integrity, because they are completely lying about the lack of evidence and the unfounded baseless claims. That's trash. That's fish wrap journalism right there.
Yeah, they insert the word baseless, unfounded in front of every story on Wikipedia. Yet they won't talk about, for instance, Arizona, where initially it was about 53,000. I think the count is up close to 80,000 suspect ballots. Nobody believes that every one of those is a vote for Biden. Some could be for Trump, some could be for others. But this is one county in a state that Donald Trump lost by a little over 10,000 votes. But we can't talk about it, Ron.
Right. And I think Georgia is going to prove to be even worse. And we're seeing video now of people dropping thousands of ballots in the Mark Zuckerberg funded ballot drop boxes. And it's going to be pretty evident. And here in Colorado, for that matter, Randy, the work that Tina Peters did as the Mesa County clerk, she did a full forensic imaging of the hard drives before they did the so-called trusted build. Total trash use of the terminology, but once again, that's what the Secretary of State and her minions in the media repeat ad nauseum. But we're seeing they erase stuff that is absolutely required by federal and state law to be kept for 25 months. So, you know, this is coming out. The task, as I see it, Randy, in this campaign is to wake up enough people. I mean, there are so many people I know that can't bear to look at what's happening to this country. And we need to start kind of shaking their cage a little bit and saying, join us. We have a big problem. We need your help. We need you paying attention.
Talking with current state representative out of HD 60 and now U.S. Senate candidate, one of six in the field, Ron Hanks, who will join us at the Arapahoe Tea Party this Tuesday, 6:30 to 8:30. Tickets still available at Eventbrite. Get them now because they do sell out. We're standing room only these days. That's why we had to go to a ticketed event. No charge, but come see us in Centennial and meet Ron Hanks. And, you know, Ron, I'm the Republican National Committee man. I'm also on the executive. As a result, that puts me on the executive committee of the Colorado GOP. So I cannot take I cannot express a preference when there are competing Republicans in a primary. And I don't do that. And this show is, I would love to have Democrats come on and talk about their policies. And I welcome any other Republican Senate candidate who wants to come on and talk. But you were quick to say, hey, yeah, I want to do that. Come on, let's do it, especially given the fact that you were picked on for a number of days today right here on 710 KNUS. And your friend, I know, very close friend, the very unbiased journalist over there at Westward, Michael Roberts, said this, don't be surprised if more of these hopefuls start pulling stunts along the lines of Hank's latest. That's you blowing the crap out of a fill-in Dominion machine. After all, it's a lot easier to get attention for gunning down a copier than it is to come up with conservative policies with wide appeal in an increasingly blue state. And what we hear from the old guard Republicans, the people who ran this party into the dirt, haven't elected anybody for a quarter of a century, is that a candidate like you in now blueing Colorado can't possibly win. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think they're out of touch, and I think this is going to be a very unique election. And every politician will tell you the most important election is the next one, the one that they're in. I contend that the most important election is the last one because there was absolute fraud. Anybody who was watching election returns on election night and saw five states shut down the voting when Trump was ahead, and then a few hours later, Biden has gone up vertically on the vote count, probably had a pretty good idea something was being played here. And I was worried about election fraud well in advance of the actual election in 2020. I wrote about it. Those are on my webpage, on the issues page. I invite people to go look at Hanks for Colorado. I didn't come on to this as a topic late in the game. I was talking about it before we held the elections. And if we get enough people awake, there is enough evidence that 2022 should be a very different election. We should have a different election counting process. Nothing should be hooked to the internet. And it was. The equipment that is being purchased in Colorado from Dominion, being built in China, has built in Wi-Fi and Bluetooth modems on it.
Which they said it didn't.
Right. And then they try to back up and say, well, they weren't turned on. Well, there's backdoor processes that will turn them on, Randy. You know this. I mean, their lies are starting to become exposed. They stay with the same mantra over and over again. We keep stacking evidence on them. Pretty soon, they aren't going to be able to stand up under the strain of the evidence that's across the nation here.
Well, so I have very little doubt that Arizona is going to decertify. I think that will happen. I think Georgia is headed toward decertification. They're having to fight through the court process to get access to, what is it, 160,000 ballots that were left out of fell out of the chain of custody. In Pennsylvania, they're very close to full forensic audit. So I think this is going to be a big story by election time next year. And all the evidence that, you know, couldn't be cobbled together against all resistance in the first few months is being developed as we speak. But setting that aside, there are plenty of people in Colorado who don't want to hear about election fraud, don't believe that the election was stolen, and may roll up their eyes, at least this is what they tell us, may roll up their eyes if they hear that coming out of you or other Republicans as they march forward to election 2022. What do you have to offer for them?
Well, I'm going to stand my ground because I'm not wrong on this, and the evidence is compounding. People are taking notice of it. We're growing a majority now that believe this election was fraudulent. And that's not diminishing. There are more people joining our side. I'm not doing this for any kind of political capital. I'm doing it because it's right. And I'll be honest, I retired out of the Air Force in 2017, and I mostly wanted to fly fish the Arkansas River and just enjoy the American West. But this is an extension of service, and now we are in crisis in this country across a spectrum. And Senator Hawley put it very well about the weaponization of our federal government against the citizens. And I contend it's happening at the state level, too. We have people that are fighting against school boards, against mask mandates and vaccines, and school board will acquiesce until the meeting's over and then change their mind. I mean, this is not a government that's working for the people. It is working as a control entity over the masses. And so we have to fight it. And if I'm unpopular, so be it.
All right. So do you plan to talk about economic policies? Or here's a question for you. Mitch McConnell, longtime leader of the Republicans in the Senate, he and 11 other Republicans got together and voted to give sinking Joe Biden and the Democrats a lifeline with a continuing resolution to postpone the reckoning that should have occurred years ago, needs to occur now, about constantly expanding our debt ceiling. Would you vote to reelect Mitch McConnell to a leadership position?
Absolutely not. I haven't liked the guy for 20 years now, and he's done nothing to better his position. We have a very few number of fighters in the Senate, and Mitch McConnell shouldn't be leading that pack. I mean, that is soft Republicanism to the point where they could switch in a day and call themselves a leftist Democrat, as far as I'm concerned.
So, you know, I appreciate you standing strong on election integrity. I'm glad that you mentioned Tina Peters. I know a lot about what's going on up there, and it's not the way it's presented on your mainstream media and your squishy, gotta stay popular commentators. This is a battle for the soul and the future of America. I just pulled up your website, though, and you do talk about economy, personal liberty, against out-of-control government. Anything else you'd like to talk about besides the election before we have to let you go?
Well, the Second Amendment is important. I look at our poor friends in Australia that surrendered their weapons, and now their federal government and their state governments are steamrolling them. We still have a line of resistance here. We have to maintain the Second Amendment. The border security is a major, major problem. That is a national security issue. We have to be paying attention. Our foreign policy, I'm not sure Taiwan is going to withstand this president, Biden. I don't even call him president. I'm sorry I did that. you know, we really have to look at how people view us as the superpower and the beacon of democracy. They have to be wondering right now where they stand in relation to socialist and communist adversaries.
Probably the most significant of issues of our time. Just looking at what's happening around the world, how China is expanding their military reach, the alliances they're making with Iran and Russia, and to not be talking about helping America maintain its sovereignty and individual citizens protecting their rights seems like a tremendous, tremendous mistake. Something I know that has come up, it was the, and I don't know if this is true or not, we haven't talked about it, that you ran for office in California with a different name or something. Is there anything about that we should know?
I was stationed out in California in 2010. I was working as a reserve guy, and that was 2010. Obamacare was coming through. I had the option to take a year off from the Air Force Reserve and run for Congress. And I ran against a guy that they called a blue dog Democrat, a fiscal conservative, but he voted with Pelosi 97% of the time. I was tremendously concerned that our country could not survive the economic impacts of Obamacare. So I took a year and I ran. My full name's Lauren. People spell it wrong. People nickname me Ron, and I figured, well, let's go with a three-letter name here. It's kind of like Mike or Michael becoming Mike, and So it's just a shortened form of my name. I mean, again, it's a lunatic fringe of the yellow journalists. They're having a good time with it. It's a nothing burger. But that's what we live with right now.
It's funny. Just had a text come in. Peter said that this guy ran for Congress in California, but under a different name. Is that true? Please ask him. Yeah. So you're not hiding a serial killer past or any series during your 32 years in the Air Force. You weren't out committing crimes or anything like that. That's a very simple explanation, sounds like to me. So,
and I had a security clearance for 30-something years, 32 years of that. So the government knows me pretty well. There's not much in my record that's going to impress anybody. If the name changes it, that's, let them run with it. We'll have some fun.
Hey, I think Ron is more manly than Lauron anyway. So, you know, if you're going to blow stuff up, let's go with Ron. Oh, man, am I going to get people who are named Lauren are going to be mad at me. But anyway, it seemed like a funny joke.
Yeah, ladies have taken it over. I'm conceding the race to the women, and I'll just go with Ron for now. So,
well, we'll definitely have you back. This is an open platform for Republicans who are running against each other. I will very carefully not express my preference, but I have no problem talking about what people say and what they've done, and let listeners draw their own conclusions. I just love the power with which you're coming into this race. You got some great attention. The fact that Westward and establishment Republicans don't like you very much makes me very, very happy that you're in this race. So thank you very much for your time, Ron. We'll see you Tuesday at the Arapaho Tea Party. Go ahead.
Okay, I look forward to it. And I want to tell people on that site, hanksforcolorado.com, there's a letter to Joe Biden that I wrote on the 11th of September this year. It has gained a lot of interest. I would encourage people to take a read. And I thank you for the time today, Randy, very much.
Very cool. We'll share that with the Arapaho Tea Party folks next Tuesday as well. We'll see you then. Thank you, Ron. All right. That's it for Ron Hanks. Full lines. Take a quick break, and we'll get right back to your calls next. 710 KNUS. Man, talk about timing. My theme song comes on, and then the big boss walks in, which means I got to be on my best behavior now. So I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish the show under all that pressure. We've got full lines. We'll get to them in just a moment. Don't want to forget, again, to remind you about the Arapaho Tea Party. Tickets are going. We've got, I think, about 30 left, so there's still time. But get to Eventbrite. Somebody just texted me they can't get into the Arapaho Tea Party Facebook page. That's on me. I was about 50 pending new members there that I just haven't looked at. I saw it last night. So I'll try and do that over the weekend, get you in. But to get tickets to come see us on Tuesday, go to Eventbrite and get your ticket there. And if you still have trouble, send me a text or text to the studio. I'll check them all over the weekend and make sure that you get to show up. Ron Hanks will be there. And during the break, I went ahead and it took me a minute to find his letter on his website, hanksforcolorado.com. his 9/11 letter to Joe Biden. It is powerful. It is excellent. And even though we ran out of time, didn't get into issues very well, he has just a ton of things that he has written throughout his elected career, going back to October of 2020, before the election. And actually going back farther than that, you can get an idea of what he believes, what he thinks about. I love this one at the end. Let's see, where is it? The enemy has revealed itself. Colorado Democrats are socialists. That was March a year ago. That was before COVID shutdowns. So this guy's been in the fight. I really do appreciate it. And I got a text. Oh, wait a minute. You gave him all that time. Are you going to, what about everybody? Yes, yes, yes. I love having candidates, especially national candidates, statewide candidates on this show. The question is, not all of them are interested in coming on this show. Eli Bremmer, I reached out to him a year ago, last April, when I won the Republican National Committee position. And Eli was running, and another good guy like Bill Cadman was running. And I got more votes than the two of them combined. And they were the next two closest competitors. And so I did what any gracious winner ought to do and reached out and said, hey, let's get together. Let's talk. And then COVID hit. So some of that fell apart. But it was kind of interesting when I reached out to Eli because he said he was living on the golf course and does business there. And it was going to be several weeks before he could talk. In fact, I called him and it said about 7 weeks before we can talk. That was in April of 2020. And even though I've seen him at places and stuff, there has still been no conversation. But the door is open. Would love to ask questions, hear about policies. That applies to every single one of our Republican candidates. Until the station tells me that I can't. I just got an email from Eli. What is this? Eli Bremmer for Senate. Did you see the photo of Senator John Barrasso holding up the $2,500 page, $3.5 trillion spending bill? Yeah. Yeah, I know. But, you know, I like John Barrasso, but he's on the list of people that supported Mitch McConnell in sending Joe Biden a lifeline over the debt ceiling. You know, right alongside of Lisa Murkowski and John Cornyn, Susan Collins, and several who are retiring, Blunt, people who don't have to get reelected in the MAGA era of the Republican Party. So I don't know. Draw your own conclusions. We do have full lines. Everybody's been very patient. I don't have the timer now, so I can't tell who's been waiting the longest. So let's start with Marjorie, since we do love ladies first. Marjorie, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. I just wanted to thank you for being a voice and speaking up for everyone because everyone is so silent. Everyone has totally gone silent. Where are our leaders? Where's Oprah? Kidding.
I hear you.
Everyone is so silent and
well,
no
I'm
one
so scared.
I mean we can't speak, you know.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, so I wanted to leave a website for the person who's facing a vaccine mandate at his job. It's called The Healthy American. A woman out of California has many forms for exemptions, all types of exemptions, and she also has a lot of knowledge. It's very informative, and she gives encouragement to people also. So it's called thehealthyamerican.com.
Cool.
Yeah. So I just wanted to leave that for you and also your caller. And also I had read online that there are certain swaths of people or organizations that are exempt from the vaccine. One of them being the homeless. The others are certain companies, employees of certain companies, and also a huge one. And I don't know the truth of this, and I'm going to research it myself, and then I will email you and let you know, because I actually don't even want to say it, because but I did read this online, and I think that is just so outrageous if that is true. So.
Well, it's there's so many things that are outrageous. I think this is part of the Democrat plan. They just keep us so up in arms about a million different things that we're We forget to drive forward with our message of security and prosperity and freedom and all the things that now, as America sees what it can be like under, you know, 8 or 9 months of absolute tyranny,
yes,
just how quickly things can shift. That is a message that can resonate very, very well. I love the website, thehealthyamerican.com. We've got so many resources we put together at corporanlaw.com because we've been so deep in these fights. And I hope that's helpful to the caller earlier who is about to give up his job because he doesn't want to wear a mask.
Yes, and I don't think people realize it yet. I really don't. I think everyone is just trying to go along. And if people just remember that government's supposed to be by the people and for the people and by the people, and it's supposed to flow upward, not from the people, not downward. I mean, from the government to the people.
No, we get it.
As long as people keep that in mind, I think, and most people do not think that way. So
well,
I don't think people realize it yet.
Thank you very much, Marjorie. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
You bet. Marjorie's line is open, 303-696-1971, 696-1971. And,
why would he lose his job over a mask?
Because some people are sick and tired of being told what to do. I had my own experience a little over a week ago, standing in court, wearing a mask, first time wearing a mask, actually addressing a court. I had been in that courthouse, Denver City and County Building, just a couple weeks before, on a divorce case, did a full afternoon of hearing, no masks, not even an ask for a mask. So, I got hot and I got lightheaded literally. And the judge let me pull it down, but, it's just that the health consequences of masks and the lack of protections, and the fact that it's just time that people stop telling us what to do. We can make our own decisions. Thank you very much. You've lied to us about the virus, where it came from. You lie to us about the numbers. You manipulate the numbers. You underreport the number of people who are being killed or seriously harmed, like my friend and client Jose Manriquez, from taking the virus when they don't need it, but you force it anyway. And that's what the uprising is. That's what it's all about. Marjorie said, you know, I think more and more people are just trying to get along, but more and more people are starting to wake up. I thought that this would happen last year. I said to hundreds of business owners, groups huge and small, that, look, if we let them get away with this, these shutdowns, these arbitrary, you know, Walmart's open, but you're closed, then what will they do next? And now we're living it. Now we're seeing it. They grab a hold of the election laws. They make it easy to cheat with no signature or reduced signature verification, all mail-in ballots, no ID required. Colorado, the gold standard. The blueprint was implemented in Colorado, and the garbage voting was implemented in Colorado. You can go to vote with a utility bill. A utility bill. Look it up. So, yeah, we're going to keep up that fight. I love people like Ron Hanks who will not back down from those particular arguments. Those aren't the only arguments that we have, but they're very important to make. I think it's best we go to a break, then we'll get to Dennis, then Steve. And Marjorie's line is open, 303-696-1971. We're here at 710 KNUS. Suppose if I'm going to finish the show, I better put the headphones back on, get so busy here. During the break, we've got full lines. We're going to get to every single one of your calls. And somebody texted me and asked me about one of the other Republican Senate candidates. We just had Ron Hanks on. I mentioned the email I just got, many of us, I'm sure, got from Eli Bremmer. But I was asked about the newest entry, I think, into the race, Gino Campagna. I'm not sure how you pronounce the last name. But he was on with George this morning, just before I took over early for George. George had to leave early, so I came on about 8:25, I think. And Mr. Campagna was on with George. So, you know, you'll hear from everybody here. I know Eli has been on with Peter during the week. Eric Odland has been on with Peter during the week. So you'll get the flavor of everybody. And I'd love to have Michael Bennett come in. Michael, we'll give you the whole hour, buddy. You just come on in and you can explain to us. I mean, I won't even ask a question. You can just explain to us your many accomplishments during the last 11 years as United States Senator. Just tell us about it. Tell us about where did the Bureau of Land Management go that Donald Trump brought to Colorado? Tell us about where did the Space Command go that Donald Trump had temporarily positioned here and we were poised to keep here in Colorado? I know we're going to hear, and promise we're going to get to every call, so be patient. We hear constantly, oh, somebody like that Ron Hanks or these other, you know, election deniers, they can't possibly get elected in Colorado. You've got to run a campaign that appeals to the middle, that appeals to the mainstream. Cory Gardner, the perfect senator, accomplished senator, not always as conservative as I would like, but he did things. He made things happen. He worked his tail off. He was likable. He worked the districts and the state. He met people. He did what had to be done, got clobbered. Oh, that's because of Donald Trump. Well, listen, Donald Trump got more votes in the last election in Colorado than it took to elect Jared Polis. He got more votes than Jared Polis in Colorado. Instead of focusing on that sort of mystical, independent, unaffiliated voter out there, I mentioned last week working on a piece we may try and get published about that, the lies that are told, the myths about the unaffiliated voter and how available they are to just that mainstream, middle-of-the-road Republican, if you just act nice, are all a bunch of bunk. Why don't we get aggressive? Why don't we do what Donald Trump did? Fire up the Republican Party, 95% approval. You know, almost 40% of the people in the country doubt the results of this election were legitimate. So why run from it? Doesn't have to be your main theme. There's plenty to talk about. Just point at the Democrats most of the time. That's all you need to do. But the idea that if the perfect candidate, an accomplished senator, a nice guy, Cory Gardner, gets clobbered in Colorado, the same people that brought you Walker Stapleton, another nice guy. I loved the meals I had with him. Smart, sharp, personable, enjoyable. Would have been a far better, more fiscally conservative and conservative acting governor than Jared Polis would have ever been. And he ran that nice middle-of-the-road campaign. And he got killed. And when his and here's what they do. Oh, that guy's got too much baggage. Walker Stapleton, as clean as the fallen snow. So as the election got close, they pulled out his grandfather, who as a Democrat mayor of Denver, was a member of the KKK, a Democrat. And Walker Stapleton, instead of defending his family name and his family honor, literally got on board Stapleton neighborhood, changing their name. That does not inspire Republicans to give one damn about what you say you will do. We see that you won't fight, that the Democrats can pull you around by the nose hairs, and we could care less. And when I say we, I mean the grassroots that make this party work. I mean the folks that take the time to go to precinct and get elected to central committee and work as delegates to elect people like me as Republican National Committee, man, and on and on and on. Those are your worker bees. You better get them first before you worry about that mythical middle out there that everybody's trying to chase. Look at the last quarter century of following that playbook. It does not work. All right, we're going to have to keep these calls moving fast. We'll start with Dennis in Greenwood Village. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yeah, hi there. Hey, I just wanted to call about the Arizona audit and this attorney, Mark Brinovich, the fact that they've had the audit done for two weeks now. They've found 15 felonies in this audit, and nothing's happening. And I think everybody should get on the phone and light this guy's phone up every single freaking day until he does something. Not only that, but all the Republicans down there that just did this committee meeting on Thursday, and they act like they found nothing in the audit either.
Yeah, it is remarkable, Dennis, the just how much your average mainstream Republicans want to tamp this down. There is real important information there, and I can guarantee you, Kelly Ward, chair of the GOP, some of the MAGA senators down there, we saw Congressman Andy Biggs, point out the fallacies about the election and openly and honestly say we can't tell who won this election, not from the votes here in Maricopa County. It's going to win the day, man. We are not backing down.
It's ridiculous. It's the number one thing that should be on everybody's mind. It starts and ends with Arizona. That is definitely the first domino. If we fail there, nothing else is going to happen. We got to put this one down, get it in the bag.
Arizona is going to decertify. I believe Georgia and Pennsylvania, probably in that order, will be next. Be patient, be persistent, and keep sending support to the good Republicans in Arizona, and keep doing like you did. Send those messages to people like Brnovich and say enough is enough. Dennis, I'm going to jump because we're running out of time. Thank you, sir. Let's get to Steve in Aurora. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Randy. Hey, I just want to introduce myself. I'm Steve Sundberg, running for city council in Ward 2, Aurora. My dad loves your program. He gets to me frequently about how you tout the importance of starting at the local level for politics. And that's me. I'm just trying to fight for my city.
Yeah, well, that's great, man. And this Aurora City Council, my gosh, it is absolutely crazy, the things that are being said. I did my promo for today's show by describing myself as the deranged, sadistic, death cult Republican National Committee man, Randy Corcoran. That's basically a quote from one of your socialist Aurora City Council members.
Isn't that wild and unprecedented? I really hope that comments like that motivate our Republican base to look up good candidates that are running together in sync in Aurora and get out and vote for sure.
People get confused because there are some really rock solid Republicans who are running. It's a nonpartisan race, correct?
It's supposed to be, but we are up against some extremely left-wing people,
right,
full-blown Marxists that want to change this city fundamentally. I think that they gained control. You would not recognize Aurora in 2 years, but we are putting up a fight. We've got momentum. We are knocking on thousands and thousands of doors, raising decent money, and we feel good.
And you're not running against another Republican, right? I mean, there are other Republicans running for different seats on the Aurora Council.
Well, I'm running against a serious Marxist that teaches proudly CRT in history and civics at Hinckley High School. But unfortunately, there are two libertarians running that could divide the vote slightly. They're not very audible in this race, but they're plugging away.
God, I hate the end of elections that Republicans lose by 3 or 4 points, and then I see there's a 5-point libertarian vote, and you know most of those votes would have gone for the Republican. That's very frustrating.
Right.
Give your name and your website again, Steve.
Steve Sundberg, sundberg4aurora.com. And if I could put a shout out to the at-large candidates running that are like-minded, Danielle Jurinski at-large, Dustin Zvonik at-large, Bill Grandrez is representing Ward 1, Steve Sundberg Ward 2, and Jono Scott Ward 3. We're all working together, and we want to save this city from the left.
I don't vote in Aurora. I live in Centennial, but I got the text from Arapahoe County that my ballot was in the mail. So people are going to have to start paying attention. Good to hear from you, Steve. Good luck and God bless.
Randy, thank you.
Betcha. All right, Jay in Douglas County, good morning.
Randy, how are you, sir?
Good, thanks.
Great show.
Appreciate it.
So in Arapahoe County, a couple locations that I saw from a friend that did some video and surveillance work. Basically, he worked at this facility. It's a care facility for elderly people. So he has video and photographs of people going around, gathering up all the ballots and leaving in their car.
Yeah.
And at that time, during the last election, didn't have anybody to tell. No one cared. I hope someone else cares that's listening to this call, because it was documented. But unfortunately, it's a very difficult thing to follow through on afterwards.
Do you have this documentation?
I do.
Well, yeah, get it to us, man. I've got people who are working on election, and we hear Colorado, the gold standard. That's crap. And all of that evidence matters. They're supposed to keep these, you know, the election results and ballot information for up to 25 months, and we're well within that period. So please reach out to me outside of the show. Will you do that?
Yes, we'll definitely do that. And they went into the facility with their hoodies up and jumped in the car and boogied. It was just real straightforward.
Holy smoke. Wow, man.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Have a great day. Thanks.
Better believe it. Man, oh, man. Even with the extra half hour, extra 35 minutes doing George Brockler's show, the time just goes so darn fast. And we had a action-packed show. Steve Reams at 8:45 as we wrapped up the George show. Then Paris Denard, the national spokesman for the RNC, talking about the change in the black community, the cultural change that it's about time, with some tremendous examples of how that happened. We talked about them a little bit, and we talked about some of the election lawsuits that the RNC is behind. Actual, on the ground, change the law, stop the unconstitutional, illegal actions that are going on around the country, lawsuits that the RNC is paying for and is behind. And the RNC has said, Rana has announced publicly that if and when the orders come out to actually make the mandatory vaccine, not just the press release, but the actual law gets made, not that these regulations should be treated as hard law, but they are, that the RNC is going to take that on as well. So hour two was John Eastman, professor and my friend and client, responding as well to Peter, who has said that John won't come back on my show. Just simply not true. I don't know why we got that all week long. But and then Ron Hanks running for U.S. Senate. That was a fascinating, fascinating conversation. That is a man who will not back down. Don't forget about the Arapaho Tea Party. Go to Eventbrite. We'll see you Tuesday at 6:30. Some tickets are available, but you must have a ticket. Always remember, never forget. I'm Randy Corcoran. God loves you. So do I. Bird Talk is next. Never give up your freedom.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.